This podcast was recorded Thursday, September 26th at 10:30 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Like a small flying insect, we'll steal the show at the upcoming vice presidential debate, just like the Mike Pence fly did 4 years ago. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who flood every device, large and small, with political ads this time of year. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, J.D. Vance takes a stand against allegations that are, quote, way out there. But first, even if you don't watch television, you cannot escape.
We love Ohio and we love Bernie Marino.
Bernie Marino puts America first and will secure our southern border.
I get up every day and fight for the dignity of work.
It's a unique voice.
Like a chainsaw in a tunnel.
Like gravel in a blender.
But Sherrod Brown's always been a voice for Ohio.
Sherrod Brown shares Biden's open border agenda. Brown refused to...
Overtime is something we earn.
But Bernie Marino refused to pay his employees what they were owed.
And then shredded documents to cover.
Those are just a few of the many ads Ohioans are seeing this fall as we near the election in November. Experts predict ad spending in Ohio will top $400 million, nearly $500 million, to get you to vote for a U.S. senator, decide a constitutional amendment, maybe a member of Congress, a rapid bus sales tax increase. It is easy to say this has become ridiculous, but someone, somewhere, thinks all that money is worth it. But it's not just the total spending on ads that has changed over the years. It is where we are seeing them, how candidates and campaigns are using various platforms to get their ad messages out. Political ads are not just reserved for primetime broadcast or cable television anymore. Joining us to talk about this new world, constantly changing world of political advertising, is longtime political strategist Bob Clegg. Bob's official title is President of Midwest Communications and Media. Bob, welcome to Snollygoster.
And thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Okay, just we'll start at the beginning. What exactly do you do all day?
Good question.
Yeah.
A lot of people ask that. Well, we're a political consulting, but also we specialize in media buying. Mm-hmm. So media buying for campaigns.
So that includes what? When you say media buying, what are you trying to do?
Well, it's changed, as you noted earlier. When I first started doing this advertising side, I was in government for a number of years before I left and went into the private sector and went and joined a Midwest. And at that time, 25 years ago, it was basically you had the options of broadcast TV, cable TV, and radio. That was pretty much it. And then a couple years after that, I started at Midwest. We started looking at this thing called the internet. Mm. And I remember doing some stuff back in 2002 for a third party entity who wanted to get involved in the South Dakota Senate race that Tom Daschle was running for re-election. And we were helping them with placing ads, on the internet in South Dakota. And that opened up a whole new world for me. And since then, it's only gotten more and more where advertising has shifted from the broadcast cable TV radio to this digital world, which can be a lot of different things. Right now, what's happening is that's really, really become big over the last 5 years or so is political advertising popping up and all the different streaming options that we now have. Because as you know, Mike, more and more people are cutting the cable, TV thing and even satellite, getting away from satellite TV and moving over to streaming.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch, I honestly don't watch primetime TV broadcast or cable TV anymore. Everything I watch, except for sports and news, everything I watch is on demand. And like, for instance, my wife and I right now, we're midway through the third season of The Bear. And it's on Hulu, and it's got ads. And I have seen more pro and anti Sherrod Brown and Bernie Marino ads watching The Bear than I ever thought I would see, you know, watching live television.
Yeah. And I'm like you now, you know, I still have a teenager and a early 20 something, and they're always on the streaming, and, you know, we're watching Murders Only in the Building and, you know, stuff like that. And yes, you're right. We're being bombarded, but you know what? When I place that streaming stuff, it still gives me the ability to target. That's the great thing about it.
Yeah. So so tell me how that works. So before,
well, I mean, it used to be targeting. I mean, targeting was tough in the old days. Broadcast TV is by definition broad. So once you placed an ad on broadcast, everybody saw it that was in that media market. You couldn't really target broadcast. However, you could target cable and radio. Cable by cable network. And obviously, if I have a Republican primary, I'm going to put a lot of my cable dollars on Fox News, and I'm going to put nothing on MSNBC.
Absolutely.
Same thing with radio. I would put a lot on news talk and put nothing on, you know, R&B or rock, you know, heavy
top
rock.
40. Yeah.
Yeah. So we could target back then, but you could target by either radio format or cable network. That was the only way we could target, really. Now with streaming, I place it, but then I'm going to say, you know what? I want female likely voters who are over the age of 45. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the streaming, the streaming systems have their algorithms for the people that are viewing their programming, and they can target my ad to the programming that women likely voters over the age of 45 are going to be watching.
So do you know the Bear is? What's the target there? Do you know offhand? There's so many shows.
No, I don't know offhand what that is, but I'm guessing it's 45 plus likely voter who is probably socioeconomic on the affluent side. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Like, well, it's probably like public broadcasting. We don't have ads, of course.
Very similar.
Yeah. No, I mean, so just to the Marino campaign or the Brown campaign or some issue campaign comes and says, I want to buy streaming service. How do you go about placing those ads? Who do you call? Mr. Hulu?
Well, there's the actual entities themselves who have sales, you know, divisions that you can go to. But there are also rep firms that will rep these kind of streaming services and will be the middleman in that transaction that's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
I have a digital company that I use that does all of my digital, and they take care of it for me.
Okay.
I don't have to, they take care of the placement. I tell them what I want target wise. I tell them the geographic area I want it in. Okay.
Yep.
And then they go ahead and place it.
How narrow a geographic area can you specify? Can you say Central Ohio, Northwest Ohio, or is it just Ohio?
Yeah, Mike, I have done, and this is not with a streaming service. This is where, I mean, and we're talking about a lot of different digital things.
Yeah.
I have targeted, you know, the Franklin County early voting location on Morris Road?
Uh-huh. Yep.
I've been able to target that.
Wow.
I target, because, you know, they have long lines there.
So
okay.
So you're aiming at people watching their phone.
And when you're in a long line and you're going to be in line for an hour, what are you going to do? You're going to be on your phone.
That's incredible.
So I'm targeting my digital, you know, it could be just a static ad with a face, a name, and the office they're running for. And I'm targeting that building.
That's incredible. I mean, talk about, I mean, back in the day, you went for must-see TV on MSNBC or NBC, and now you can target a 3 or 4 block area.
Oh yeah, I've done. I had a judicial candidate up in Akron, where she would tell me the big Friday night high school football game for each weekend, and I would go in and direct her ads to the stadium and then go out maybe a radius of a half a mile.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is it from a campaign standpoint, is it cheaper or more expensive to do that?
Well, if you're looking at, you know, in our world, it's all about impressions.
Yeah.
If we're looking at impressions, it depends on what you're trying to do. If I'm trying to send out just what I call a static ad, where it's just a, you know, a picture of a campaign logo with the candidate's name, that's fairly cheap. Mm-hmm. However, if I'm going to go in and do a what I call a pre-roll ad, where I have, let's say, you're going into your iPad and you want to go to hgtv.com, and when you go into it, my ad, my 15-second ad will pop up and run before you can get to that, you know,
yeah,
website. That's more expensive, mm-hmm, you know. TV, though, believe it or not, TV is still fairly cheap. When you look at broadcast TV and the amount of eyeballs that are still watching, like what I would be interested in, the local news,
yep,
you know, you're getting tens of thousands of people. I mean, and sure, the spot may cost you $1,500, but when you, you know, look at the number of impressions you're getting off of that, it's still, you know, really affordable.
So when it comes to broadcast TV, are you targeting the shows that people, you know, don't, you know, DVR? Are you targeting sports? Are you targeting news?
I'm targeting news, obviously, is my number one target. Mm-hmm. My number two target is Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy.
That was my next question. How important is Jeopardy?
Oh my gosh, yes. And that's, you know what, you're paying the same price for Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy as you're paying for the 6 o'clock or 11 o'clock news, because yeah, it's that important.
Yeah,
and they also get better ratings.
Well, that's like, you know, next to, I mean, that the real, those are the two shows now that are non-news, non-sports, that are really appointment viewing. I mean,
oh yeah,
I mean, so many people.
Their numbers, their Nielsen numbers, are still really good. I mean, in most markets, they're going to be higher than whatever 6 o'clock or 11 o'clock that I'm going to buy.
And you got to figure, I'm guessing those are likely voters watching those shows, especially,
oh,
not to characterize, yes, the viewers of those shows, but Jeopardy especially.
Yeah, and it, because it skews older. Yeah. So, you know, everybody over the age of 50. And that's the other thing. When you're targeting, depending on the election cycle, you're going to have a different target. And in our gubernatorial years here in Ohio, you know, my targets may be 35 plus, mm-hmm, okay, for voters. But if it's a presidential year, I got to bring that down to like 25, 54, you know,
yep,
because the universe of the electorate in those years are different.
Yeah, people just vote once every 4 years a lot of times. And, you know,
yeah,
when the, yeah, city council race is probably more important to their daily lives, you know. How hard is it to get on Jeopardy? I would assume everybody wants to get on those shows, so it's got to be,
yeah,
the competition has to be pretty fierce to get those limited ad spots.
Yeah, it's called TV inventory.
Yep.
They, you know, a TV station only has so many commercial spots in any given program. And when you talk prime time, you know, 8 to 11 p.m., that's even more difficult because you have network. The network has certain number of spots in that hour-long program, and then they give the local station only a certain number of spots in that hour.
Yeah.
So there's even fewer spots. It's all a matter of how much you're willing to pay,
mm-hmm,
to be in a certain program.
Now the federal candidates. Federal candidates have a certain rate that the stations can charge, right?
Well, all candidates have what's called a candidate rate. Mm-hmm. Now, the third party issue people, they have an issue rate. The federal election, you know, laws govern how much a candidate, you know, must pay to get a spot, and that's kind of regulated, and you get a much lower rate as a candidate. Issue, the station can charge whatever they want,
yeah,
for an issue campaign. So that's where, you know, a lot of these TV stations make a lot of money, is off of issue campaigns, because they can charge double, they can charge triple what they would charge a candidate for a spot in that exact same program.
Yeah. You know, audio, you talk about radio. I listen to out-of-town sports radio in my car on my streaming service, but I'm still getting local ads, local political ads even, during their commercial breaks. So you, that's an availability as well.
Yeah, you can buy, radio, you can buy satellite radio, you can buy all kinds. I mean, everybody's out there to make money, okay?
Yes.
So, and political money to whether it's radio, TV, streaming, that's all gravy, okay? Because, you know, the hardcore revenue stream for, you know, TV or any of these is your regular customers like car dealers and grocery stores and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So political is always that above and beyond what they would normally get. Yeah. So,
and you go to them
they
too.
Want to make sure that they have that available. Uh-huh. And that gets to the inventory situations. A lot of stations will bump their regular customers to put in political. Mm-hmm. Because that regular customers can go on after election day with no problem.
Yeah.
Where the, obviously the political can't do that. So they'll bump the regular guys so that they can take more political money.
Also, the nature of, I mean, it used to be just a 30-second spot, you know, the classic 30-second TV spot, 15-second TV spot. But now if you go on like Instagram, you see a negative ad, maybe criticizing Sherrod Brown or Bernie Marino. And it's, it's basically a picture of Bernie Marino, usually kind of not the most flattering picture, or of Sherrod Brown, and then just music and text over it, you know?
Yeah.
Brown's with Biden's border policy. Bernie Marino, you know, had business practices that, that hurt his workers. Those are very low production values, pretty cheap to make.
Yeah, and you're on a streaming platform or you're on a digital platform that can accommodate any size ad. You know, it can be a 5-second ad, it can be a 30-second ad, it can be 2-minute ad. And you know, they have that flexibility that TV and radio don't have. TV and radio, you know, you can do a 15, you can do a 30, you can do a 60. But you know, once you get beyond that, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do on TV. Digital opens up that creative world so much more because you don't have those kind of restraints.
We have 6 weeks to go, more or less. What's the fear of people tuning out?
I like to talk about the 99.9% of the people on the planet that are normal.
Yes, I'm not us.
Normal.
Neither of us
I'm
are
not
normal.
Normal. No. You're not normal.
No.
Because you're too aware of all this too.
Yeah.
And you know, just people living their lives. And, you know, one thing I learned about political buying is it's not so much the reach that your ad is getting, it's the frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the political advertising world, we have to realize we are giving information to people that they don't really want. So we're basically force feeding people. And to do that, you have to keep doing it over and over and over and over. And I remember I had a client running statewide that we put his bio ad up, you know, to try to introduce him to everybody in the state. And we ran it for about 3 weeks. And at the end of after about 10 days, he calls me and says, "Hey, I'm seeing that ad way too much. We need to switch that out and put something new in. People are going to get sick of that." And I said, "You know what? Over half the people haven't even noticed your ad yet."
Yeah.
And we've been on for 10 days.
Yeah.
Now he's the candidate. He's going to notice it. Okay.
Yeah.
But no, but not normal people.
No.
And you just got to keep running it and running it and running it. And I know people, a lot of people say, "Oh my God, I cannot believe that I've seen that ad 15 times." Well, that's a very minuscule percentage of the people that are viewing that ad.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really changed. You talked about how much has changed in your career. Where do you see this going in 5-10 years? I mean, can you predict?
Well, you know, one thing I thought by now would be happening that hasn't happened, I just thought TV, whether it's broadcast or cable, would be out of the mix or would be a very small part of the mix. And I've really been surprised at the resiliency of TV in general and radio. Radio is in that too. I think, you know, for the foreseeable future, the next 10, 15 years, I think we're going to see a lot on the digital streaming side of things. But I think TV and radio are still going to hang pretty tough in the political advertising world. Mm-hmm. There are probably going to be new and different ways of doing things digitally that they're going to come up with. I'm not quite sure what those are yet.
Yeah.
But I'm not an expert in digital, stuff.
Maybe you got the whole AI thing.
I'm sure
going.
There's going to be different forms of delivering our messaging that will come up. But I think we're looking at pretty much the kind of mix that we currently have, which is, you know, a digital world that's ever increasing, but also, you know, TV and radio is still going to be there.
Yeah. Bob Clegg, president of Midwest Communications and Media. So now you know, when you're standing in line at the early voting center and you see a political ad, you'll know who to give credit to or who to blame. Right?
Right.
Bob, thanks very much for joining us on Snollygoster.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
We'll be right back.
The candidates for November are set.
Donald Trump's tight.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or the shrewdest political move of the week. Well, you know, we tried to stay away from Springfield's dogs and cats, and we have, for the most part. But J.D. Vance and Donald Trump continue to get flack for their false allegations that Haitian immigrants were stealing the pets in that city and eating them. Vance said last week his claims were based on allegations.
My constituents have brought approximately a dozen separate concerns to me. 10 of them are verifiable and confirmable, and a couple of them I talk about because my constituents are telling me firsthand that they're seeing these things. So I have two options, Dana.
Note he said verifiable and confirmable, not verified and confirmed. There's a difference there. And as you know, there is no evidence that pet abuse happened. Then, 1 week later, came a report from CNN that the Republican candidate for governor in North Carolina, Mark Robinson, made racist posts on a pornography website. Here's how Vance responded to a question from a local NBC reporter in Philadelphia.
So I wanted to ask you, are you comfortable with Mark Robinson as the Republican nominee for governor in North Carolina?
Well, look, the allegations are pretty far out there, of course, but I know that allegations aren't necessarily reality. And what I'd say is it's all
allegations that are pretty far out there. We'll just leave it at that. For treating two sets of allegations very differently, J.D. Vance gets our Snollygoster of the Week Award. That'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and just tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.